بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us innumerable gifts for which we cannot give enough thanks to Him. And we send peace and salutations upon His beloved Messenger, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to think back to when you first opened up a new device. So let's say it was, a new Bluetooth headset or a Nintendo 3DS or a new cell phone or whatever, some sort of device that you opened up. And most chances are that you turn to the user's manual for guidance, which of course is created by the designers, by the creators, to inform the users of products or of a particular product of how to use it properly. Because if the instructions are not followed, right, if the instructions are not followed, then there's a good chance that you might end up damaging the device, you might end up destroying the device, and you'll have to face the consequences thereof. Similarly, life has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from time to time, He revealed user manuals for proper use of this valuable gift. And if life was lived according to, or if a person were to live his or her life according to the teachings, to the instructions in this user's guide or in this user's manual, then the person would be able to live life in the way that the Creator had intended life to be lived. Otherwise, the person would risk causing harm to themselves and to others as well, and to their surroundings. Now, if a company or an institution purchases something which is very complex, or something which is very expensive and very valuable, so, for example, if there's some complex machinery that's been installed, that's been set up in a lab, for example, or let's say an airline buys a new type of airplane, or, there's some sort of new technical software that's been purchased by a company, then a user's manual is just not enough. A book is just not enough, right? So when Air Canada buys a new airplane from, let's say, Boeing or from Airbus, Airbus doesn't just send, for example, the Airbus A380, right? Air Canada doesn't have any, but the other airlines. So it's not like they just send the airplane. It's like, here's a book, read the user's manual, train your pilots, go figure it out. They don't do that, right? What do? They'll send either people to train employees on how to use the product or the device properly, or they'll actually hold sessions where people can come, attend these sessions, and get training on how to properly use this piece of machinery or this device. So our life and everything that this world contains is also extremely valuable and is extremely complex as well. It is also extremely complex. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just send a book and say, okay, here, read the book, and you'll know how to do things properly, how to live life and how to deal with others and all of these other things. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets for this extra guidance, this extra training on how to use this valuable gift, how to use it properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, to train and to guide people. Now, of course, as Muslims, we believe that all the prophets of Allah azza wa jal were truthful, were pious, were sincere, and were sinless, but they were human beings. So they made mistakes, which were used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach a lesson. They made mistakes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to teach lessons for them and for all of us, to serve as an example so that if we find ourselves in that type of situation, how should we respond, how should we react, what should we do? Today we live in a time where reverence, respect for the pious, for people of spirituality is going down, unfortunately. And even the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are no longer valued as they ought to be. And there's even a type of pride associated with, you know, being part of a society that allows for mockery, that allows for disrespect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prophets. Now, as Muslims, of course, we take a complete opposite approach to this. For us, reverence and respect for all the prophets of Allah and their teachings is a must, right? And this is one of the things we need to highlight when we have discussions and we communicate with our friends and neighbors and colleagues who are not Muslims. And we should educate them that our religion, Islam, teaches us complete respect, reverence, and belief in all the prophets of Allah. And a person cannot be a Muslim. Even if a person does not, you know, takes out even one prophet and says that I don't believe in this particular prophet, na'udhu billah, a person cannot be a Muslim. So therefore, this is something we should, first of all, of course, understand ourselves and educate others about as well. So all the prophets of Allah, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, you know, from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Musa, Isa, and of course the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of the prophets in between, right? Because they're not, of course, all mentioned in the Quran. Right? Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not chosen to name all of them. But as Muslims, our faith and belief is that yes, every single prophet which was sent by Allah was a true, sincere, pious messenger of Allah who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not make mistakes, or who was sinless rather, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the person. We don't criticize them, we revere them, we respect them, we don't speak ill of them. Now, as believers, every day we send peace and salutations at the end of each prayer. So at the end of each salah, we send peace and salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, and we mention Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and their families as well. And when, of course, we hear the name of the Prophet Muhammad, we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. So there is no question that every Muslim, any person who claims to have iman, any person who claims to be a Muslim, cares for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has some sort of attachment with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So when the Danish cartoon, right, controversy erupted, we saw that, you know, everyone was hurt by this. Every Muslim was hurt by this. Even those, you know, who appear to have an aversion for anything Islamic, right? Even those came on board and felt that, you know, this was something that was wrong. So everyone was united when it came to that. When it came to the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Muslims were united in this. So whether it's through, you know, reading his words of wisdom, whether it's through studying his teachings, or through reading and hearing his description, his life, or listening to poetry in praise of him, and so on and so forth, all of us in one way or the other have some sort of attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we are in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the month of his birth, that will likely increase as well. So it is very clear that each Muslim has some sort of attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this attachment, this care, this concern to love him, to stand up for him, to tell people about him, to educate people about him, is very, very important. In fact, loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a part of our faith. Loving him is a part of our faith. You see, Islam is a complete deen, right? A complete religion. So it doesn't just talk about things that are rational, right? It doesn't just give us guidance on actions, just on beliefs, but also on emotions as well, right? Because love is a natural emotion, right? It has to go somewhere. It has to be attached with something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also given us guidance on where this love should ideally be directed. So should be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be directed towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should be directed to those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So our family members, for example, right? Our spouse, our children, our parents, right? If we love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah wants us to love them, then that also becomes a source of reward. In any case, so loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of our faith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولدي ووالدي والناس أجمعين. That none of you will truly believe None of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son or his children, and all of mankind. None of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his father, his children, and all of mankind. So he's telling us that a part of our faith is to love the Prophet ﷺ even more than we love ourselves. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the Prophet ﷺ one day and he's like, "You are more beloved to me than everything except myself." Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the Prophet ﷺ, he wants to express his love for the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, "You are more beloved to me than everything but except for myself." So the Prophet ﷺ replies, "No, Umar. Ain't gonna work like that. I swear by him in whose hand my soul is, you will not truly believe." So basically, "I swear by Allah, you will not truly believe until I become more beloved to you than yourself." Until I become more beloved to you than yourself. So thereupon, Umar radiallahu anhu, he got the drift, he understood, you know, what he had to do. So he says, "I swear by Allah that you are now more beloved to me than myself." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Okay, now, O Umar, now you have fulfilled the criteria." Meaning now how do you say that? Okay, so like, what does that mean? Right? Okay, I love you more. You sign the Prophet ﷺ, "I love you more than I love myself." What exactly does that mean? How does that manifest itself? It means that now you, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, your teachings, your guidance is more important to me than my own wants, than my own desires, than my own thinking. So now that I love you even more than I love myself, it doesn't matter what I want. What I desire doesn't matter. What I think doesn't matter. Because I love you more than I love myself. So I'll do what you guide me to do. I'll do what you tell me is correct, regardless of how I feel about it. This is what Umar radiallahu anhu meant. So loving the Prophet ﷺ is a part of our faith, but this is not a one-way street. This is not a one-way street. So it's not that the Prophet ﷺ wanted us, you know, to love him and that was it. But rather, he also had immense concern, immense love, and immense concern for everyone, right? Not just his family, not just his companions, not just the people who were around him, but rather he had intense love and concern for everyone, right? The people who were there with him, and the people who were going to follow him. Now Muslim reports, while the Prophet ﷺ was reciting the noble Qur'an, he read two verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quoting Ibrahim alayhi salam, "رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعْنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ." So Ibrahim alayhi salam is quoted in the Qur'an as saying, "O Allah, O my Rabb, my Lord, surely they have led many of mankind into error." So these idols, they have led many of mankind into error. "So whoever follows me, then surely he is of me. And whoever disobeys me, then surely you are ever forgiving, ever merciful." And the Prophet ﷺ also read another verse, from the Qur'an, the words of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, saying, "إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ." Saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "O Allah, in case you torment them, in case you choose to punish your servants, then surely they are your bondmen, they are your servants. And in case you forgive them, then surely you are the ever mighty, the ever wise." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited these two verses, and he raised his hands, right? So these are, you know, verses that are talking about forgiveness, and they're talking about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're also talking about the ability or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish people. Because at the end of the day, right, we are Allah's servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, you know, he controls us, he has given us some free will, but at the end of the day, we have to go back to him and we are accountable for our actions. He can decide to forgive us, he can decide to punish us. So Allah, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting these verses, and this makes him cry. He raises his hands and he says, "Ya Allah, O Allah, ummati, ummati, my people, my ummah." And he's crying. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking of all of us, right? Because we're from the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's thinking about everyone who's to follow. And he's crying with this concern. He's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, saying, "Oh Allah, my ummah, my ummah." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Jibreel alayhi salam. Angel Jibreel says, "Oh Jibreel, go to Muhammad, though your Lord knows best, and ask him." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking, what dua he's making. But he wants to, you know, let people know. So he says, "Oh Jibreel, go ask." So he's ask him, "What makes you weep? Why are you crying?" So Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him about the matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, "Why are you crying?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs him of what he had said, what his concern was, what dua he was making, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about this. Then Jibreel alayhi salam comes back and he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is what he was concerned about, this is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for, this is why he's crying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel, he says, "Go back to Muhammad and tell him that verily we will please you with regard to your ummah, and we will never displease you in matters concerning your ummah. So this dua that you're making, don't worry, you know, you're not going to be disappointed by your ummah," right? What does that mean? It means it puts the onus on us, right? It puts the responsibility on our shoulders that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned for our well-being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about us, you know, whether we will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So we have a responsibility then to stand up. We have a responsibility to stand up, not let the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down, right? Follow the commandments of Allah and follow things as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would expect us and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expect us to follow. But the point here was to show that he had intense love and concern for his ummah, for all of us. So he had so much love that he would shed tears and make dua for us. And not just that, but so much love that he wished to have met us. So the Prophet ﷺ actually had the desire to meet us. Right? Even though we're sitting here, right, over 1400 years later, the Prophet ﷺ actually had a desire to meet his followers who come afterwards. So Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Waditu anni laqitu ikhwani," that, you know, "I wish that I could meet my brothers." Prophet ﷺ says, "I wish I could meet my brothers." So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they ask, you know, "Aren't we your brothers? أَوَلَيْسَ نَحْنَ إِخْوَانَكَ," right? "Are we not your brothers? We're sitting in front of you, we're so close to you, we're giving up everything, you know, to support you, we believe in you, we believe you're perfectly truthful. Well, you know, what else? You know, what are we missing here? Are we not your brothers?" So he says, "Qala antum ashabi," you are my companions, "but my brothers are those who will believe in me without having seen me." So he's wishing to have met all of us who have believed in him without actually seeing him. Because the companions, radiallahu anhum, their level of iman, of course, their faith, much, much, much more stronger than ours. But they were there in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had seen him. They had spoken to him. Right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to meet those who would come after him, who have not met him, have not seen him, yet they have still believed in him. So this is a very deep topic. So this is just a brief look at the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. So I mentioned earlier, you know, about the love we all have, the attachment we all have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is again something wonderful, something very important. Yet I must say that this love cannot be and should not be hollow. This love should not be hollow, meaning we just say that yes, we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, when we hear his name, we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We listen to some poetry, or you know, we read about him. And yes, we love him, we care for him. If somebody says something, we'll defend him. Yes, that's all good. But it should also have some impact on us. The love for the Prophet ﷺ should manifest itself in everything that we do, in our personalities, in our conduct, in our thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that you have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct. In the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a beautiful pattern of conduct. You have a beautiful example. And those who truly love someone, right, those who are fans of someone, they like to do everything like them, right? They'll try to do everything like them. They'll try to copy them in every single way, right? They'll know all the details about them, right? All the facts. You can quiz them about anything. You know, if they're driving somewhere, they're sitting at home and they hear a radio talk show or something going on, and there's a contest going on, and there's some questions, they'll know immediately all these different facts. Where was this person born? When was he born? How old is he? What did he study? What did he do? Which hit single do you have? This, that. They'll know everything about this person, right? They'll know all the details. And they'll, you know, try to act like them, they'll behave like them, they'll speak like them. So if you're true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should also want to be like him as well. Follow his example, follow his teachings, and this should manifest itself in our daily lives. And even, you know, even the smallest of actions, even the most, what we consider to be the most insignificant of actions, can be an indicator of how much love we have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much value we have for him. So for example, right, very normal things that we do, right? In happiness, you know, how do we laugh? In happiness, how do we laugh? What is the manner of our laughing, right? Do we do it, you know, in a modest way, in a controlled way, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to laugh? In anger, right? When we get angry, when we get upset, how do we react? Right? So the Prophet ﷺ has given us instructions, right? He's given us an example of what to do when you get angry, right? So you're supposed to sit down. If you're already sitting, you're supposed to lie down. You're supposed to make wudu. You're supposed to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Right? Are these steps that we take when we get angry? When we get upset and we get angry, do we resort to violence? Right? Do we start throwing things around? Do we start having tantrums? Do we start slamming doors shut? Do we start using inappropriate language? Right? Do we start cursing? Do we start using vulgar language? The Prophet ﷺ was clearly not obscene. He was not vulgar. He was not a person who would curse others. Is this something that we do when we get angry? And even regularly, you know, what type of language do we use? Are we accustomed to putting down people? Are we accustomed to dissing people? Right? Anas radiallahu anhu, he served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. How many years? For 10 years, for an entire decade, or even more, possibly. And he says that the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam never said the word uff to me. You know, uff meaning to signify, you know, when you get annoyed at something, you know, you're trying to tell someone to do something, you know, you're telling your kid to get ready for school and come down for breakfast and they're still not getting up, or they're wasting time on the internet or this and that, they're taking too long in the bathroom. You tell them once, you tell them two times, three times, and you get like, oof, like, what's wrong with you? Like, hurry up, come down, you get annoyed, right? It's an expression of annoyance. In 10 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used that expression. And Anas radiallahu anhu says that he never said about a thing that I did, why did you do that? Right? So Anas radiallahu anhu, he was young at the time, right? So he must have made mistakes, he must have, you know, he might have done things that perhaps, you know, were not exactly how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted him to do them. Yet in this entire period, he never once asked him, why did you do that? And if he left something, right, so he says, and he never said about a thing I left. So if he was supposed to do something and he didn't do it, he never said, why did you leave that? So such was the patience, right, and the love and the compassion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. His character was, you know, so beautiful to the point that he would never get annoyed, never question people. How are our interactions with others, our family members, right, our strangers? Are we kind and helpful to them? Are we dismissive? Are we indifferent? You know, there's even the Prophet ﷺ once kissed one of his grandchildren, right? And this person was there, he was surprised. He said, you know, I have like 10 children, I've never ever kissed them, right? So and you're the Prophet of Allah, you're actually kissing your grandchild, like, you know, this is surprising. And this is not something that real men do, you know, that was the type of thinking. He didn't say that, but, you know, that was the type of mentality. And the Prophet ﷺ said, well, you know, if your heart has been deprived of mercy, then what can I do about that, right? So these were the, you know, the types of dealings that he had. You know, always loving towards his wives, always loving towards children or towards his grandchildren. Dealing with strangers, if somebody was, you know, if he was walking and somebody stopped him along the way, asked him for something, you know, he wouldn't just be like, ah, it's okay, I have to go right now. Yeah, I got to run, man. No, whatever, who are you? You know, you give him a dirty look and just walk on. No, Prophet ﷺ would stop. He would listen to people find out, you know, what are their concerns? Why are, you know, what do they need? How can he help them? And so on. You know, how is our behavior at home? Right? Do we think like we're the men, especially brothers, right? Do we think like we're kings at home? Right? Or boys? Right? Do you feel like, oh, just because you're a boy, your sister has to do everything for you? Right? You got that type of mentality. You know, you come home, you think, okay, everything should always be ready. You know, and that's it. And you just sit down, plop in front of the TV, you know, flick on whatever channel you want to watch, and everyone else is supposed to do everything for you. This is not how the Prophet ﷺ used to live. Right? The Prophet ﷺ would mend his own sandals. Right? Would mend his own clothes. Would sweep around the house. He would help out in the house. He would do things. Right? Out of his love and compassion. Right? This was the character of the Prophet ﷺ. How honest, you know, how much integrity do we have, and how truthful are we? Are we known around our school, kids? Are we known around our school as cheaters and liars? When people look at you, do you think, oh yeah, there's that Muslim guy or that Muslim girl, oh yeah, they're always cheating, they're always lying, they're always using bad language. Is this what we're known for? Or at work, is this how people know us? Because this was not the character of the Prophet ﷺ. Small things, right? Food, when we eat. Do we keep eating and eating and eating and eating until we're full and we can't take it anymore and then we're going around burping? Or, you know, do we follow the example of the Prophet ﷺ, try to eat, you know, leave one third for food, one third for water, one third for air? Do we respect the food, the blessings that Allah has given us, right? Or we just waste them? Because, you know, every time, you know, you have a party or something, your plates will be filled up. In the end, ask the people who clean up. Ask the brothers and sisters who clean up, even here when we have the iftars or we have a dinner, ask the brothers and sisters who are cleaning up how much food they find in the garbage cans. Right? This was not the character of the Prophet ﷺ. Do we get upset if you don't get good food one day? Oh, there's too much salt. What's wrong with you? You don't know how to cook? Mom taught you, never taught you how to cook? You know, or mom, I can't eat this. It doesn't taste good. Whatever, you know? No, this is not how the Prophet ﷺ was. He would never complain about any food that he was given. Would never complain about any food that he was given. The things that we spend on, are we spending on luxury, things of no benefit? Are we running after, you know, comforts and luxury? This is, again, not the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Are we compassionate? Are we merciful in our dealings? The Prophet ﷺ was sent as a mercy to the world, to the universe. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Are we like that? If we claim to follow him and we claim to love him, is that our character? Is that how we deal with people? You know, there's so many areas, right, of prophetic examples. There's so many other areas. So, you know, this is an opportunity for us to do a self-evaluation. Figure out whether we truly love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not. And if we do love him, how can we make that love meaningful? How can we take that abstract love that we say we have, that concern we have, that attachment that we have, and turn it into something that is meaningful? So I encourage myself, encourage all of us to be on the lookout. You know, research the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read, listen for different traits, practices, lessons from his life that we haven't heard, or perhaps we have heard before. Right? Sometimes there are things we always hear, but we just never practice upon them. Right? Things we know. Right? We know this is how things should be done. We know this is a sunnah. We know this is a teaching, but we still don't follow it. Right? So look for those things and try to have them implemented into our lives, step by step. Make it a project, you know, once a week, once a month. Pick a sunnah, pick a teaching of the Prophet ﷺ that you know exists, or maybe you just found out about, and try to implement it into your lives. Why? So that it makes us better Muslims, so that it makes us better people, so that it makes us better citizens of this world, and makes us a true mercy to the world as the Prophet ﷺ was, because we claim to be his followers, and we claim to love him, so therefore we should be as he was. As well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability, the understanding to truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, in our minds, through our bodies, in our actions, and in every single way, with every single teaching and every single quality and characteristic of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.